Hello and welcome to Biopod, the official podcast for the School of Biological Sciences, here at the University of Edinburgh. I'm Liz Gabbardeel, and in today's episode, Biopod's own Apple Chu sits down with Professor Gary Loke, who is both the leader of a plant science research lab and also the founder of a biotechnology startup called Green Bioactives. Together, they discuss commercializing research, how to run a sustainable startup company, and how to balance the research and the business. So now, over to you, Apple.
I'm Apple, a PhD student in the Institute of Molecular Plant Science. In short, we call it IMPS. And today I'm sitting down with Professor Gary Loke, who is a principal investigator also in IMPS, here in the University of Edinburgh. In addition to running a research lab, he is also the founder and chief scientific officer of a biotechnology startup called Green Bioactives. So good morning, Gary. How are you today?
Great, thanks. Yeah. How about you, Apple?
I'm a bit soaked.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular rain here.
Yes. I had four cars drive past me in the flood, so I'm pretty soaked right now.
Yeah, and I almost didn't get here in my car due to a flooded road, so interesting times. That's climate change for you.
So I'm curious, this is more of a personal question, but how long have you been here in the University of Edinburgh?
Wow, that's a long time. 27 years, yeah.
27 years, wow.
Yeah, so a long time.
Yeah. That's quite cool. Could you give us a brief background of your lab's research?
Sure. A key feature of plant immune response is the production of reactive nitrogen and oxygen species, which change the cellular redox status. So we're interested in how the signaling pathways associated with this change in redox status can orchestrate the activation of the plant defense response. And another key feature of the plant immune response is the production of immune-related natural products, which have antimicrobial, insecticidal, nematicidal functions. So plants are able to synthesize a chemical cornucopia of different molecules. You know, they're just amazing chemists. So I guess these natural products form the basis of applications in a myriad of different industries. You know, for example, the pharma industry. Mm-hmm. So in that particular case, approximately 25% of all contemporary pharmaceuticals can be traced back to plant natural products. So it was really this aspect of our research that provided the platform for the formation of the company.
Yeah, so when did you first become interested in commercializing this?
I've been interested in commercializing biology for a long time, and that's actually what got me into biology in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I can remember reading a book from the library when I was a teenager, I guess about the early days of Genentech and things in San Francisco. So that was one of the reasons why I got into biology. That kind of fascinated me. But in this particular case, I guess it's been a slow burn. So I've acted as a consultant or even sat on scientific boards for a number of different companies over the years in this kind of natural product space, and particularly in plant cell culture. Mm-hmm. And from what I saw, you know, those guys were not doing a great job, and in our humble opinion, we could probably do something a little bit better. So we decided to set up our own company.
Yeah.
And see if that posit was actually correct.
So you've taken a long time to learn what works and what doesn't work, and built a company from experience, basically.
Yes, exactly. So there was no kind of eureka moment for
us.
It was a slow burn.
Yeah.
Just gathering experience over the years and having an insight into what industry wanted and needed.
Yeah.
That formed the kind of basis for the start of the company, really.
Yeah. It sounds like it'll lead to a more sustainable run of the company compared to people who just jump straight into it.
I guess we'd like to think so, but we shall see how it all works out in the end.
Yeah. Could you tell us a bit more about Green Bioactives? Like what products do you sell and what your company goals are?
Sure, so Green Bioactives, I guess in a nutshell, uses cultured plant cells, sometimes cultured plant stem cells, mm-hmm. to produce high value natural products for potentially a myriad of different industries. So for example, you know, it could be agriculture, pharma, food and nutrition, cosmetics, healthcare, traditional medicines. So it's really a platform technology that can underpin a myriad of different industries.
Right. So do you sell the technology to other people, or do people come and ask you to, you know, I want to make this product, and you make it for them?
Yeah, that's a good question. We initially kicked off just in time for the pandemic, the worst possible time. So to date, you know, we haven't really done any business development at all. In fact, we're just hiring a business development guy now to kind of drive that aspect of the business. So we did no business development. We couldn't do any business development. We couldn't go anywhere. And for some time, obviously, we're even locked out our own labs.
Yeah.
Very difficult. Not a great time to start a company. But despite this, customers came to us. I think based largely on reputation from what they said. So they kind of knocked on our door, and we initiated co-development projects with these early customers to eventually produce their target natural products for the given industry. So we've now got customers from the US, multinational, from Europe, multinational, from India, China, all without any business development, which kind of bodes quite well for us.
Yeah, sounds like you got a lot of international customers.
Yes, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's great. So when you came up with the idea, do you start with yourself, or do you have a team that helped you build the idea?
A bit of both, I guess. So in the very beginning, it was me who kicked the process off. So I'd had the idea for a while, but just looking for the right opportunity to start the process, really. And Innovate UK launched a scheme to provide money for company startups. So I saw that and then thought, this is a good opportunity, should follow this. So I wrote the initial application to apply for that scheme, and fortunately was successful. So I was invited down to a sort of mini workshop, I guess, in Bristol. So there's myself and someone from Edinburgh Innovations and a commercial person. We went down to Bristol as a team, effectively, and then competed against around about 20 other groups that were there that also had their ideas to start companies. So from those 20 or so, six were then selected to go down to London a couple of months later to the Institute of Directors in Pall Mall, to then compete for ring-fence money to start the company. So fortunately, again, we were one of the six that were selected to go to London. So we went down to London, and then we gave our pitch to, I guess, the great and the good of British biotech. There was a huge table with about 30 people sitting there firing various questions at us for half an hour. So we gave our pitch, and then a few days later, we heard we were one of the three from the six that were selected for funding. So that was the sort of kickoff for the company, to have that money to bankroll the initial spending required to get us over the starting line.
Gee, 30 people. That was quite intimidating.
It was quite intense.
Yeah. Are they, I guess they come from a mixture of different...
Yes. I mean, some of them were company founders and big corporate people, and others were from, you know, funding agencies and things, and more in that domain space.
Yeah, so why is plant cell culture the future?
Ah, good question. Well, I would say it's actually a very good time to do this, because many companies now are under strong pressure to have sustainability goals. And a lot of the target plants to produce these natural products are rare plants. You know, they grow in inaccessible environments. They could be growing in the South American rainforest, for example. You can't really go in and chop those trees down,
yeah.
So that's just not possible. And also, these plants, of course, have not been domesticated.
Yeah.
So you can't grow them in agricultural settings. You know, they haven't been bred for thousands of years to produce these target molecules. So typically, the yield is very low. And it's also variable on climatic conditions. So again, accessing from wild plants is problematic, yeah. And typically, you know, these plants are relatively exotic. So they're growing in exotic locales, subjected to, you know, weather events, as we've seen today. And of course, the supply chains are also long, so the carbon footprint is big. You know, those plants can be subjected to plant diseases and also political instability, again, as we see today through the war in Ukraine. So being able to isolate those plant cells from a particular target plant and grow those in a bioreactor in Edinburgh, you know, gives you a robust, sustainable supply of the target molecule. And of course, we have various technologies that we can then apply to those cells to increase the yield, right?
Oh.
So it then becomes, and then the cost of goods is then within an acceptable range to market that particular molecule.
So I thought that your technology is taking the enzymatic pathway to make that molecule in the wild type plant and transfer that into your cell culture line. I guess that was a misunderstanding.
I mean, that, of course, you know, our aim is to modify those pathways, but often those pathways are unknown. So the molecule is known, but the corresponding pathway is unknown. So of course, using the classical synthetic biology approach, where you can put those enzymes in a microbial host, for example, and then produce your molecule, in most cases that's not possible because the actual biochemical pathway is unknown. And of course, often even if it is known, it's horrendously complicated. You know, there could be 20, 30 different enzymes. And you know, putting all those in a microbial host, expressing them, and many will be cytochrome P450, right? So they're very difficult to express in microbial hosts still. Getting those to produce an acceptable yield of the target molecule is, I think, fiendishly difficult.
So
we provide an alternative approach. And of course, maybe synthetic biology, of course, will improve. But you know, we don't have to take that approach. We can isolate cells from the target plant and then culture them and then isolate the molecule from those isolated cells. But of course, you know, we are looking to develop technologies to, you know, identify quickly those biochemical pathways, identify the key genetic switches that control the biosynthesis of those pathways, so we can increase the yield of the target molecules. So so there's lots of technologies we want to develop around this.
Lots of ideas, so little of time. Are there any plants that are more challenging to isolate cells from?
Yes, I mean, it's on a case-by-case basis, of course. So some plant species, it's easy to isolate and culture the cells and get high yields of the target molecule, but others can be fiendishly difficult. And it's often not that easy to predict which is which. But I think as we gain experience, then you know, we have better insights into doing that. And of course, as we gain experience and technologies, then it helps us to isolate cells from those more recalcitrant species. So we're kind of learning all the time to be able to improve that process.
So what are the challenges, the main challenges, or maybe the top three challenges working with plant cell culture?
I guess one of them would be yield, trying to increase the yield of your target molecule. Another one would be getting those cells to actually grow in vitro. So often it's not really possible to do that with some plant species. And also with sort of developing gene editing technologies. So that can also be quite tricky.
Sounds like that's a lot to do.
Yes, we have plenty to do. But, you know, things like CHO cells, right, Chinese hamster ovary cells, have been used for decades to produce, you know, therapeutic proteins for human medicine. So we were well behind that. So, you know, cultured plant cells are very new as a line to industry. So there's plenty of opportunity and technologies that we want to develop.
So do you grow these cell cultures in a bioreactor that provides light?
No, we can grow them in the dark. So
okay.
Just provide them with a simple sugar and grow them in the dark.
So
that's quite nice. And of course, then it's easy to use optogenetics and things to switch genes on and off.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you can grow them in the dark. You just provide the sugars.
Absolutely. I mean, some do prefer the light, but it's on a case-by-case basis again. But generally, you can grow them in the dark, yes.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Sure. sure.
So have you gone through any patenting process?
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. Yes, I think that's fundamental to form the company. No one's going to invest unless you've got a picket fence around your key IP. So yes, we've had, you know, developed IP strategies and developed, as I say, a picket fence around our key IP and continue to develop that with various technologies. So yeah, that's absolutely fundamental. So yes, I've learnt a lot about generating and creating IP.
Yeah, and it sounds like Edinburgh Innovations helped you a lot through this journey.
Yeah, so they were very helpful at the start, I would say. So, as I said, when we initially worked the ground and we went through that process to acquire ring-fence money for company startup. So, I think Edinburgh Innovations were very good there. And we had some good help, very supportive. It was, for us, it was very difficult to go through the company formation process. So we were given 1 month to do that from our funder. It took Edinburgh Innovations 12 months to do that. And we had multiple ultimate deadlines to get that across the line, which were missed. So that was pretty stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, we did manage to complete the process and were able to access the money. But that was, I think, the most difficult part of starting the company for us. Yeah.
I'm going to skip through the international venture a bit because you already talked about having international
customers.
Sure, yeah,
that's worked out well, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to India in the new year to discuss potentially starting up a production facility there.
Oh, wow.
So over the long term, you'll probably see that as a good, cheaper way to produce our molecules. So yes, we'll have some production in Edinburgh, but probably very large-scale production. We're planning to do probably in India. So I'll go over there in the new year to meet with collaborators to try and get that off the ground.
So where are you based now in Edinburgh?
We're currently based at the Rosalie Innovation Centre. So that's been really great. We've enjoyed that. It's a great place to be, I think. Fantastic state-of-the-art building. And it's really good to be in a community of different companies.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we haven't been able to exploit that as well as we could because of the pandemic, of course. You know, there hasn't been as many meetings. So that's just beginning to kind of open up again now. But yeah, there's a great community of companies who are quite interactive. So I think that's very synergistic and it's a good place to be. Although we may have to move out soon, I think, just because of space requirements. But that's under review.
Yeah. So just a curious question for me. What's the largest scale that you've grown plant cell culture in so far?
50 litres.
50 litres.
Yeah, so we want to go, 1,000, 5,000 litres. So we still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
So yeah, the scale up is an important, over the next couple of years, that's going to be very important for us. So can we really scale up the technology to large scale?
Yeah, you would need a chemical engineer for this to...
Oh yes, yeah. I'm not a chemical engineer. Yes, absolutely. Mm. Yes, so we need experts to help us do that. And I'm certainly not a chemical engineer. So so we need some collaborators to help us scale the business from the technology point of view. Yes.
Yeah. All the best in India with the.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Facility.
Yes. If I can ever get there. Yes. Yeah. It's proving very difficult to get even a visa. So I was I was supposed to go in November, but the UK has been booted off the e-visa list. Because we put India on the red list of how many during the pandemic.
Oh dear.
So it's taken me months to get an appointment. And I've got to go down to London to get my visa in December, hopefully.
Can be annoying when politics get in the way.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so what's the best moment of your journey so far?
That's a good question. I guess landing the first customer.
Yeah,
because you start your business and... who knows whether you're going to get anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course you talk to people, but will they actually support you and give you cash? So I think getting the first customer was the best, yeah. So that really demonstrated that, yes, this was a business that could actually work and, fly. So that was the most exciting, I think, so far.
Yeah.
Getting that first customer. Very important, I think.
Yes, very important. So how do you balance running a research lab and business at the same time?
Yes, that's not so easy. Yes, I mean, it definitely takes up a lot of time. So, and of course, I have quite a busy research lab as well. Yeah, I mean, I basically haven't had many free weekends.
Mm-hmm.
for a long time. So my wife has been long suffering, I think.
Sacrifices.
Yes, so I've had to work a lot of weekends to that, yeah. So time is kind of short, especially in the initial startup phase because there's so many things to do. I'm hoping it'll calm down a bit now. And yeah, I was kind of a CEO at the beginning as well. So I had many, many jobs to do. I just handed that over to someone else a week or so ago. So now I'm Chief Scientific Officer and I can concentrate more on the science.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else can concentrate more on those sort of nitty gritty day-to-day things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it takes a lot of time. But heck, you know, I've learnt a lot. So it's been great. Of course, I've been an academic for a long time. And, you know, you kind of, although your field, I guess, evolves, you know, you're still doing the same things pretty much. So it was very interesting to learn how to set up a company, you know, learn different things about finance, about intellectual property, about regulation, about all the legal specifics. So that's also a big aspect of all this. And then, of course, you've got HR, PR, etc. So, so it's been a very interesting learning curve. So I've learned a lot of new skills.
Yeah,
so
but quite a steep one as well.
Yes, a steep learning curve, but enjoyable, I would say. Yeah.
What's one advice you would give to academics or scientists who are interested in commercializing their research?
Wow. I would say think very carefully about it before you jump in, because it's a big commitment and it certainly does take up a lot of time. So be aware that you know, you'll have to put a lot of effort in to get it across the line. So I think that would be one thing. And then I would just say talk to, you know, as many people as you can, not only within the university, but also outside the university, I think. And get their input. I think that can be very helpful too. And then make plans just to, you know, expand the business, build your team. Yeah. So it's I think it's very fulfilling and interesting, but yes, it is demanding.
Yeah.
So you have to be prepared to sacrifice a significant chunk of your time.
Yeah, thank you. Last question for me. So where
sure.
do you see your companies in 5 years?
Wow, okay, yes, so...
okay, in the near future.
okay, no, I guess we see ourselves as being the leading providers of sustainable, natural, reliable plant natural products derived from cultured plant cells using production processes that help protect and improve the environment. So that's ultimately our goal.
Yeah. Are there any other companies that are doing plant cell culture technology to make natural products?
Yeah, there are. So a lot of the plant cell culture companies are principally using extracts. So it's easy to just grow up some plant cells and break them open and sell the extract. So most of the action for these companies is just in producing extracts. So there's really not many that are producing molecules. So the biggest one would be Phyton. So they produce probably about 25% of the paclitaxel supply, blockbuster anti-cancer drug. But, you know, they set up a good few years ago now, so they're using kind of old technologies, not really at the cutting edge, I would say. And, you know, they haven't really embraced any molecular biology, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're kind of, definitely they've done a great job on the scale-up, so they're doing this at large scale. So they've done a fantastic job on that. But hopefully we can, you know, there's a space for us by applying some of these cutting edge technologies to use our elbows and get some action in the field.
Yeah, sounds very interesting. All the best in your journey.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, so thank you, Gary.
Pleasure.
For speaking with us in Biopod and sharing your journey with us.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode of Biopod. If you want more Biopod in your life, subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Biopod Edinburgh, on Instagram or Facebook. Enjoy the rest of your day and I look forward to you joining us next time.